It's your time on Her Radio. Be a part of the show. Make your comments, ask your questions by email. Ask her at radiomd.com
or by calling
877-711-5211. Time to ask her.
I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Michelle's off today. We're going to attack these three great questions from you, our wonderful Her listeners. And we thank you. So here's the first one. What can I do to keep my skin looking young? Oh, there's your $60,000 question. The first thing I would do is get up and move. That's right. People who do regular physical activity, notice I didn't even use the E word, exercise. I just said be more physically active, have that glow about them, because you know that when you're doing physical activity, you've got increased circulation throughout the body, and that includes your skin. And of course, if you're doing that, then hopefully your diet is better too, and maybe even, you know, handling stress so much better. So it all kind of falls together like a domino effect. So the first thing is get active. The next one is up your vitamin C intake. That also includes your diet. So important. Get it through whole foods, like fruits, for instance, and vegetables as well. A study published in the American Journal of Nutrition found that women over 40 with the highest amounts of vitamin C in their diet were less likely to develop wrinkles than those who consumed lower levels. Vitamin C, ladies, muchos important. Next one, stop smoking. Come on, you want a smoker's face already? If you want wrinkles, keep smoking. It's one of the worst things you can possibly do because it creates enzymes that damage the actual collagen in your skin, and therefore you get that telltale sagging, which so many smokers, you know, have. Who needs that? Pitch the smoking. Come on, ladies. Smoking is so last year. You've heard this from me and from all the other experts. All right. The next one is stay sun safe. Slap on that SPF. It is so terribly important. Nothing damages your skin more than sitting out there and getting those UVA rays because they penetrate deep in the skin and they damage the deep collagen support structures there. You don't need that. Wear at least an SPF of 15 or up to 30 for your face. That'll work like a charm, but keep it on. And if you're in the sun a lot, you got to repeat that exposure over and over again with that SPF cream or moisturizer. Really important. And I'll bet you didn't know this, and that is that when you cut down on sugar, it actually improves your skin because, once again, there's a premature aging of the skin. That's a process called glycolation, and that is when that's where excess sugar in the blood arteries attach themselves to lipids, nucleic acids, proteins, all kinds of stuff in your collagen, and then give you premature aging. Who needs that? And then another final thing, how about doing something like exfoliating, getting rid of some of those dead cells and stimulating some growth? We like that, which goes hand in hand with massage. We love massage. Massage is good. So you could do self-massage on your face. It's very easy, and that's why they also have a lot of those wonderful Clarisonics and other devices that help clean your face and also massage at the same time. Great question from a Her listener. Second question, what are the benefits of coconut oil? Coconut oil has been fraught with all kinds of controversy. For a long time, people said, ooh, don't have that because it's got so much saturated fat in it. Well, what does a tablespoon of coconut oil actually have? It's got 117 calories, 0 grams of protein, almost 14 grams of fat, of which 12 are saturated. And, you know, no carbohydrate, obviously, and it's got no vitamins or minerals. But what's so special about it? Coconut oil has an unusually high amount of medium-chain fatty acids or triglycerides. And these are harder for the body to convert into stored fat and easier for them to burn off, you know, than the stuff that you normally get in saturated fat from animal products. So that's why a lot of people like using virgin, natural, unrefined coconut oil And it's become a real staple in cooking as a cooking oil in many households. You don't need that much of it. And what it really does is many people now say that, for instance, in studies, that it has actually helped people maintain a normal cholesterol profile in diabetes. In diets that are high in these medium chain fatty acids that I just talked to you about that coconut oil has, have been shown to improve glucose tolerance and actually reduce body fat accumulation versus those diets that don't have this in them. This is very provocative kind of research that I love to read about because it's really important for you to understand, I think there's really something to this. And then when it comes to weight loss, if you look at coconut oil versus soybean oil, for instance, both groups lost weight, but it's only the coconut oil group that saw a decrease in waist size, meaning that there may be sort of a preference here for more of that weight loss that takes place with the fat deep inside the belly. And you can incorporate coconut oil easily into your diet. Just be on red alert. It's got to be virgin coconut oil, not partially hydrogenated coconut oil. Read your labels carefully. It's very, very important. And then, you know, clearly you want to limit all saturated fats in general, no matter where they come from. So you don't need very much at all. Just a small amount will do the trick. And if you have any questions, clearly talk to a registered dietitian or to your medical care provider, whomever you want to really help design an excellent dietary program for yourself. Now, a third question and the final one is, what usually happens when you go to the OBGYN? A lot of people just sort of stumble in there and say, well, whatever. You know, well, you want to ask a lot of questions from technical and otherwise. What if you're meeting this physician, this provider for the very first time? You want to know if they accept health insurance, your health insurance, which hospitals they have admitting privileges to, especially if you're looking at, you know, potential pregnancy or surgeries coming up, the office hours, when are they available? And if you're not available, who's going to be covering for that physician? This is important information to know. A lot of people never ask this up front. And you know, here at Her Radio, we're always about being your own best advocate. And make sure you're completely comfortable with this person before you become a patient. I mean, for crying out loud, if you don't get along with the person, or if the person doesn't quite have the personality, doesn't really communicate well with you, that's not a good thing. We don't want that. Now, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists recommends that girls have their first OBGYN visit when they're 13 to 15 years old, or they become sexually active, whichever becomes first. The first visit for teens may include a talk with the doctor and no exam. And it's really important that you've established that rapport. You come in with your little history. Tell your physician everything. Are you taking supplements, over-the-counter things? And never, ever, ever be embarrassed. Really, you want to be comfortable with that person, because when it comes to the OBGYN, you know, it's kind of personal. We're talking about, you know, things that really resonate with your sexuality, with your sexual health, with your reproductive health. You really want to be able to talk to them about sexually transmitted diseases, testing, urinary tract infections. This is so terribly important. So, you know, in talking to your OBGYN, first, develop that rapport. Second, ask all of those technical questions. And next, ask this person to give you a blueprint, a template, to be able to understand how you can best optimize your time with that wonderful primary care provider, whomever they may be, for OBGYN. Well, there you have it. What can I do to keep my skin looking young? What are the benefits of coconut oil, and what's going on with the OBGYN when I visit that primary care provider? I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robes, and you're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Follow us on Facebook and like us on Twitter. Stay well.